Hi there, this is Lon Solomon, and I'm so glad you've joined us today for Live with Lon. What are we going to do today? Tell me, we're going to study what? The Bible. Come on, tell me. The whole Bible. Come on. Nothing but the Bible. And then what are we going to do? We're going to apply it to our lives. That's exactly right. So, without any further ado, let's pray and get into the scripture. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the eternal Word of God, the Holy Word of God, that teaches us what we need to know about salvation, what we need to know about living for you here on earth, what we need to know about eternal life and being with you for eternity. Lord, use your Word today in a mighty way in our souls to bring hope and comfort and encouragement and fortitude to our hearts. And we pray this in Jesus' name, and everybody said what? Say it with me, amen, and what? Amen, you bet. So, we're in John chapter 9, and we just began the chapter, so let's pick up in John chapter 9. Verse 1, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. Now, we talked about this last week, that in context, this does not mean that he and his parents didn't have any sin in their life. It means they had no egregious sin for which he was being punished, being born blind. You know, you need to listen to last week's message, and this will help you with this. Now, let's move on. And when he had said these things, verse 6, he, Jesus, spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the man with the clay. And he said to him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went his way and washed and came back seeing. Therefore the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, is not this he who sat and begged? And some of them said, this is he. And others said, it is like him. And he said, I am he. Therefore they said to him, how were your eyes opened? All right, now that's as far as we're going to go today. Obviously, this was a miracle. Because later on, the man who was born blind, let me show you. Look with me at verse 31. The blind man says, now we know that God doesn't hear sinners. But if anyone is a worshiper of God, him God hears. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who has been blind like that, who has been born blind. Now, this is an amazing miracle that Jesus did. And we're going to talk more about this miracle as we go on through the chapter. But I want to go back, and I want you to look at something very interesting here. Jesus spat on the ground, look with me at verse 6, and made clay out of the saliva, and anointed the eyes of the man with the clay, and said, watch, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Now, we talked last week about the pool of Siloam, where it's located, what it looked like, all the archaeological discoveries that confirm the Bible, including the discovery of this pool by modern-day archaeologists. But they weren't sitting right by the pool of Siloam. It's not like he said, walk down the steps and go in the pool. I don't know how far this guy was away from the pool, but there was obviously a geographical distance between where Jesus and this man were talking and the pool of Siloam. So you say, yeah, I got a couple questions then about this. All right, ask them. Number one, How did this guy get to the Pool of Siloam? He can't see. How did he get there? Well, a couple different options, I suppose. He could have had a seeing eye dog. You say, what? Yeah. We actually have Roman records from the city of Herculaneum, where archaeologists have found evidence that there were people, blind people, who had seeing eye dogs. Yeah, this is not a new thing. Probably unlikely that he had that. Then how did he get there? Well, if Jesus didn't go with him, so the only thing I can figure is that one of his friends or someone he recruited walked him to the Pool of Siloam. You say, okay, that's reasonable. That leads to my second question. Why did Jesus do this? Why Jesus put the clay in the man's eyes? Why didn't he just say, be healed? And the man was healed right away, right there, standing right in front of Jesus. Why didn't Jesus do that? Why put the burden on this man to somehow get to the Pool of Siloam, find his way there as a blind man? Why put that kind of onerous situation on this man? That's a very good question. Why didn't Jesus do it with the man standing there? That's a very good question. You say, all right, good. What's the answer? The answer is, my friends, that by forcing this man to make his way to the Pool of Siloam, this was an act of faith on the part of the blind man. I mean, if you don't believe Jesus is capable of doing this miracle, and if you don't believe that Jesus is serious about giving you your sight, and if you don't believe that the clay, when they get there and he washes in the pool, is going to bring him his sight, or at least there's a 90% chance or more of that, if you don't believe that, you're not going to that pool. I mean, a person who wasn't willing to show faith in Jesus, he's just going to sit there, clean his eyes out, and say, forget this. I'm not going to that pool. Why don't you heal me right now? Why make me go to the pool? Now, I don't even think you can do it. This was an act of faith for this man to believe Jesus' promise, which is inherent in Jesus anointing his eyes, and to obey Jesus and go wash in the Pool of Siloam. Are you with me? Jesus insisted. This is the point I want you to get today, so listen up. Jesus insisted that his promise to heal this man be mixed with faith on the part of the man in order to turn that promise from potential into kinetic. Are you with me? Now, this is not the only time Jesus did this. Let me show you Luke chapter 17, one of my favorite stories anywhere in the Bible. This is the story, you may have guessed it, of the 10 lepers. And let me read to you the story. When Jesus came along walking, they cried out to him, Jesus, we're in Luke 17, verse 13, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. Now, why did Jesus tell them that? Well, in the Old Testament, if you were to receive a healing, or if you did receive it, you went immediately to the temple, presented yourself to the priest, that's what the Old Testament required, and had the priest validate your healing. So that in the case of lepers, you could be among the people again. The lepers were outcast. You might remember the movie Ben-Hur, where they were outcast. And they were not allowed to come among the people and interact with them until their healing was certified by the priest. Here's my point. Leaving and going to see the priest, they weren't healed yet, was an act of faith. If you didn't believe Jesus was going to heal you, what's the purpose of going to see the priest? You're just going to get there and still be a leper. Now watch, let me read on here. Luke 17, Jesus said, verse 14, go and show yourself to the priest. And it came to pass, look at this, that as they went, they were cleansed. They had to combine Jesus' promise, inherent, in going to see the priest. No reason to go see the priest if Jesus is not going to heal him. They had to combine it with what? Faith. Their act of faith was leaving Jesus and heading for the priest. And as they went, that faith combined with Jesus' promise and became kinetic, they were healed. One more. I mean, there are more, but I'm only going to take the time to show you one more. How about John chapter 4? You say, oh, the woman at the well. Yes, you're right. But a lot of us only know John chapter 4 as the woman at the well chapter, but there's a beautiful passage at the end of the chapter. Look at this. Verse 46. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. We just came back from Israel. All of you who went with me or have been with me, you know exactly where Capernaum is, right on the northern side of the Sea of Galilee. And when he heard, the nobleman, that Jesus had come, he went to him and begged him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. And the nobleman said to him, verse 49, sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus said to him, go your way, your son lives. Okay, so Jesus makes him a promise right there that Jesus has healed his son, that it's done. Jesus healed him. Now, the man has no way to corroborate this at the moment. There were no cell phones that, you know, he just got a call. Hey, your son's healed. No. There's no beepers, nothing. So the man hears Jesus say that. He's got no way to corroborate it, but look what happened here. Look at this. The end of John chapter 4, verse 50. Jesus said to him, go your way, your son lives. Look, watch this. And the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. Now listen, if you don't leave and head back to your house here in John chapter 4, then you're not believing what Jesus told you. I mean, if you don't believe what Jesus said to you, you could have stayed there and argued with him and said, Lord, that's wonderful, but can you come to my house anyway, just in case it didn't work? And how do I know that he's healed? And I don't want to head back, and then he dies, and I've lost my moment with you. I don't want, you may not be around. Wait a minute. The man believed what Jesus told him. That's an act of faith. And the man turned around and went home. That's an act of faith, believing God's going to be true to his promise. Now watch the end. And as he was going, verse 51, his servant met him coming from his house, and told him, saying, your son lives. Then the man inquired of him about what time his son got better. And they said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at that same hour in which Jesus said to him, your son lives. And he himself believed, and his whole household. Jesus healed the son, but required that the man turn and head home. Why? Because that was an act of faith, mixing with Jesus' promise to turn potential into kinetic. Now, I think I've made the point. And you say, Lon, what's the point? The point is that Jesus' promises, he wants them to be mixed with faith in our life, in those promises, and in everything he tells us here in the Bible. That's the magic, supernatural magic, that turns everything that's potential for us into kinetic for us. when you show faith in the gospel that turns the potential of eternal life and the plan of salvation into kinetic for us. Right? Right? Yeah. And if you don't show faith in the gospel, it remains potential, but it doesn't remain activated. It's not activated yet in our life. Okay. Now, let's ask our most important question. Are you right? Are you ready? Come on now. One, two, three. Here we go. Come on. One, two, three. So what? Yes. My buddy, Jackie Gleason. What does he say? Say it with me. Come on, you can do it. And we stretch out the word sweet. Come on now. How what? How sweet it is. You bet. Now, what's the not a sermon, just a thought from this passage? Well, it's just what I told you. That God's promises and God's plan of salvation and everything that God has for us becomes activated when it's mixed with faith on our part. Now, everything in here is real. Everything in here is potential. Everything in here is powerful and will come alive in our life, but not until it's mixed with faith. It's like a light switch. All that electricity... All that electricity is right there, or at the switch, ready to light your lights and run your computer and run your video games and run the TV and all of that. Hey, but it doesn't become kinetic till you what? Flip the switch. That's what lets it come into your house and become powerful and active. Hey, faith is like that little light switch. It's when we take all the promises of God that are right there, right ready to come alive in our life. That's how we flip the switch. And all of them do come alive, is by faith. Now, there's salvation faith where it all starts. But of course, there's everyday faith, you know, like the 10 lepers had to show, like the man born blind had to show, like the man whose son was sick had to show, like you and I have to show. Yeah. And all of God's promises have to be mixed with faith. Faith. Now, let me show you this in the Bible. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. Hebrews is such a great book. A lot of people don't study it because they think it's too complex, but it's not. But look at this. Verse 1, Hebrews chapter 4. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to fall short of it. The rest he's talking about is the Sabbath. The Sabbath was meant to be a picture. All the feasts and festivals of Israel were meant to be pictures of something related to our walk with Christ and the gospel. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 tells us that the Passover was meant to point to Christ. He was the Lamb of God who takes away the world. His blood had to be put on the door, like his blood has got to cover us. When God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you in judgment, just like when he sees the blood of Christ covering us, he passes over us in judgment for our sin eternally. You follow with me? Well, the Sabbath, yes, it was a day of rest, but it had a much larger symbolic meaning, which is that when we come to Christ, our soul rests. Our soul rests. We don't have to struggle anymore worrying about eternal life and how to get our sins forgiven. You with me? Okay. Now, verse 2. For, indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, talking about the Jewish people, but the word which they heard, watch, did not profit them. Well, wait a minute. Isn't the gospel powerful? If you hear the gospel, Doesn't the gospel profit you? No, not necessarily. Listen, but the gospel word they heard did not prosper them. Look at this verse. Not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. There you go, baby. That's the whole point I'm trying to make today. That everything God promises us has to be mixed with faith to activate it and make it alive in our life. The gospel, which these people had heard, didn't profit them. Why? Because it wasn't mixed with faith. They rejected it. And you know, sometimes God promises us things and we miss a great blessing in our life because we're not willing to mix that promise or mix that calling that God may be putting on us. We're not willing to mix it with faith. Let's talk about Abraham. God called him, leave your people, leave your land, leave your country, everything. Follow me. Where are we going, Lord? Tell you later. Lord, who's going to protect me when I get there on the human level? Well, I'll tell you later. Well, what's the whole purpose? Where am I going to live? I'll tell you later. How am I going to survive? I'll tell you later. Well, Hebrews 4 says Abraham went out not even knowing where he was going. So that was the offer of God. Now, you know what? We're not told in the Bible that Abraham was the very first person God ever offered this deal to. He could have been the 50th. But listen, he was the first one who took the offer. And what did he mix it with? He mixed it with faith. That's why he's in Hebrews 11, the Hall of Fame of faith. So why if there's 49 people before him, why didn't God tell us about him in the Bible? Folks, what's the value of being told about unbelief? Why put unbelief in the Bible? What difference does it make about those 49 people? It didn't profit them. God's offer profited Abraham. Why? Because he mixed it with faith. He mixed God's promise he was going to have a son with Sarah, even though they were 190 years old, respectfully. He mixed it with faith. And on and on. Moses went back to face Pharaoh and led the children of Israel out and became one of the greatest heroes in the Bible. Why? Because when God appeared to him at the burning bush and said, I want you to go do this, what did he do? He mixed it with faith. Was he afraid? Yes. Did he try to get out of it at first? Yes. Was he unsure how he was ever going to pull this off? Yes. He was human. But when push came to shove and it came down to the bottom line, are you going or aren't you going? He mixed it with faith, and not having answers to those questions, he still went. That's why he's the great man of God that he was. Gideon went out with only 300 men because God commanded him to, and had a great victory. Why? Because he mixed it with faith when God told him what to do. And on and on and on. Mary had the Lord Jesus at the virgin birth. Why? Because when Gabriel appeared to her and said, this is from God, she mixed it with faith. Now, that brings us to you and me. Friends, there are many opportunities that come along in life, and I tried to teach my boys, fellas, the great opportunities in life only come around one time. If you don't grab them and mix them with faith, they're gone. They're not coming back. God doesn't come back 3 and 4 times and beg people to do things. Uh-uh. He'll move on to somebody else who will, and the blessing gets lost to you. I said to my son James, whom I'm so proud of, who's now still an active duty Navy doctor, but he went to the Naval Academy. I said, James, that if you don't go to the Naval Academy this year, that opportunity is not coming back. Only comes once. My son Justin had a wonderful opportunity to leave Chicago. He's a lawyer, works for a law firm, and their headquarters in Chicago. He had the opportunity to leave, and they wanted him to move to the West Coast and be a leader in the division on the West Coast, which they were trying to open up and strengthen. What a call! His wife had grown up as had been in Chicago for years, although she was from Detroit. That was a huge step of faith. You know what? Justin did it. And Kim, my daughter-in-law. And I can't even tell you the blessing God has brought to them because they did. My son John, who played college baseball for Hopkins. I'll brag about him a little bit. They went to the World Series in 2008, and he was the World Series. He was the left fielder on the World Series team. Wonderful career that he had playing ball. But when he was in high school, Riverdale Baptist School, who has or did have a baseball program that was ranked in USA Today, the top 25 in America high school programs, virtually every year. A couple of years ago, they ended number one in the whole country. My good friend Terry Terrell offered John the chance to come to Riverdale, and he said to John, John, if you just want to play high school ball, John was a sophomore at Woodson High School. He said, stay at Woodson. That's all you want to do. But if you want to go play college ball, this is your program. We will get you ready for that. And John, as we were driving home, said to me, he's like 15 years old, says, Dad, what do you think I should do? I said, John, I think you should do what Terry told you. You want to play college ball, and only you can decide that. You got to step out by faith, and you got to pull out of Woodson and start going to Riverdale. And Terry had told him, John, I want you to drop back and repeat your sophomore year because I want to get 3 years of playing out of you. That was a big ask. John did it. He took the Metro for a year before I'd let him drive. Every morning he drove to the Metro at 6 o'clock in the morning, took it all the way to New Carrollton. I had a car there for him. He'd jump in that car and drive to Riverdale, stay after school every day for baseball practice, because they practiced every day. Then come back to New Carrollton, ride the Metro back to Vienna, get home about 8:30 at night, do that every day for a year. Brother, that was an act of faith. But did God honor it? He sure did. Not only did John play for Hopkins, he's got a degree from Hopkins. Hey, you know what? God honored that. And you've got opportunities in your life where you need to step out by faith, where God's calling you to do that. Now, it could be a really big thing like changing jobs, or a really big thing like deciding to have a child, or a really big thing like going into the ministry, a really big thing like attending seminary, or a really big thing like purchasing a home, or whatever it might be. And you've got to follow God by faith, and it'll look scary, perhaps. And you won't have all the answers at the time God's asking you to step out. He never gives you all the answers. Then you'd be walking by sight. And to activate the great blessings that God always has when he asks us to step out by faith, that calling of God has to be mixed with faith. Now you say, but Lon, in the everyday affairs of life, you don't get those kind of big callings all that often. True. But you know what? Every single thing in life that we do every day, we trust God to keep his promises, and we're walking by faith. I'll never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. I'm trusting God for that every day. All things will work to good to those who love God. I'm trusting God for that every single day. All of your days were written in God's book before there was a one of them, and my times are in his hand. I'm trusting God for protection every single day, and on and on and on. There are a lot of more daily kinds of areas where you're still walking by faith, and you know, what you say, well, Lon, but what about the areas where you don't have a choice to step out by faith, where you're pushed into it? And with this, I'm done. Like the military transfers me to another post and I don't have a choice. My work, my boss moves me to another job or moves me to another location altogether and a new job. And I don't have a choice. You know, what about when I'm a child and something happens and I have to do what I'm told to do by my parents or some school personnel or whatever? What about those things where you don't even have a choice? Hey, we have to take it from God, what he's doing to us. He's sovereign. And we got to react to it with faith and say, Lord, you wouldn't be doing this to me if it wasn't because you had a great blessing on the other side. Because Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. And so I'm going to approach this with faith. That's the key. And approaching something with faith changes everything, changes your attitude about the whole thing, changes your expectations about the whole thing. Suddenly you approach it not with dread and doom, but with anticipation and with excitement and with confidence. Why? Because you're trusting God by faith that he's doing this for a blessing. You with me? It's all about faith and mixing everything God tells us, everything God calls us to do with faith. I told you a couple weeks ago about my two granddaughters, Natalie, who lives in Durham, and Ava, who lives in Manhattan Beach, California, both starting junior high this year, this fall, this past fall. And I told you, if you remember, how scared they both were because, I mean, I've already been through junior high. It doesn't scare me, but they haven't. So no matter how much I told them, oh, you don't need to be scared. Well, I'm sorry, that doesn't help. They were scared. And they had reason to be. Suddenly you're going up, bigger building, you're going to change classes, you're going to have different teachers. You know, you don't know anybody up there yet, blah, blah, blah. Of course it's scary when you're 12 years old. And I remember telling them, look, if God does takes you here, and he's taking you here, obviously, believe his promises that he's going to be with you. He's never going to forsake you. Believe his promises that he is going to go before you and turn this into good, that he's going to take ashes and turn it into beauty for you. And they did trust God. They did go with good attitudes. And God did everything he said. They're so happy now. They got friends. They're all plugged in. You know, easy peasy now. But I remember I told you this, and then I'm done. I told him, I said, now look, girls, I want both of you to remember. I said this individually to him. God often puts you in those situations where you are scared and you do have anxiety and you are unsure and you are shaking in your boots. Why? So that you will step out by faith and trust him and do it, and then he'll show you the great things that he has. You know what? We say, God, show me, and I'll do it. And God goes, no, I'm sorry. That's walking by sight, and that's not how I work. I work by faith. We say, show me, and I'll do it. God says, you do it in obedience to me, and then I'll show you. Abraham, you leave your land, and then I'll show you. Moses, you go back to Pharaoh, and then I'll show you. Mary, you agree to have the Lord Jesus, and then I'll show you. Natalie and Ava, you go to school and trust me, and then I'll show you. John, you go to Riverdale, and then I'll show you. James, you go to the Naval Academy, then I'll show you. Justin, you move to the West Coast, and then I'll show you. But I'm not going to show you And you're going to miss a huge blessing if you're not willing to mix my callings and my promises with faith. You got it? All right, I could go on, but I think the point's clear. There's probably some areas in your life, or there will be, where God will call you to step out. And my friend, don't be afraid to do it. The risk is only perceived. It's not real. God is there. There was no risk for Abraham. No real risk. God already knew what he was going to do. There was no real risk for Moses. God knew what he was going to do. There was no real risk for Gideon. God knew what he was going to do. There was no real risk for Ava and Natalie. God knew what he was going to do. And God knows what he's going to do for you. Don't be afraid. Mix with faith everything God offers you. And baby, he'll shock you with what he does. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thanks for speaking to us today about the light switch that flicks on the blessing and the promises and the power of God in our life, mixed with faith, Hebrews 4, verse 2. Help us to be people, Lord, like Abraham and Moses and Mary and Gideon and the heroes of the Bible who became heroes, not because they were any different than we, but because they took God's offers and mixed them all with faith. Lord, help us to do that, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, hey, good to be with you today. Next week, we'll be back, Lord willing, with Live with Lon.